Thank you for joining us for the University of Illinois Press podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Hess. I am joined today by Dr. Suzanne Sinke, the Associate Chair of Graduate Studies in the Department of History at Florida State University, as well as the editor of the Journal of American Ethnic History. We plan this discussion in anticipation of the upcoming Organization of American Historians Conference. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Suzanne, the field of ethnic studies is vast. What topics of ethnic history would you say you're drawn to the most when scholars submit their papers?
For one, I'm drawn to works that engage the histories of multiple racial and ethnic groups. For example, our Spring 2021 issue includes an article that documents the role of a group of Italian immigrants who were terrorizing Black voters to stop their political participation in New Orleans during Reconstruction, right after the Civil War. A second area of interest would be works that have the potential for transfer, particularly of theory or method, to other groups, such as an article we did on the interplay of the Tejano community and working together with the Mexican government in the public sphere as seen through Spanish language newspapers in San Antonio. And a third area might be new topics that have current relevance, such as something we did recently on the rise of the detention systems for immigrants in the 1980s.
Dom, a similar question. What topics or subjects of historical periods or episodes or people attract your attention for you to consider them for an acquisition?
I don't know if I'm particularly interested in any period more than any other, but I would say that I'm interested in looking at how gender, sexuality, class, and social status intersect with race and ethnicity to better understand how power and structures and institutions that seek to substantiate that power work. And so because of that, I'm interested in looking at how subjects of those systems carve out lives both because of and in spite of those systems.
Thank you, Dom. Suzanne, how does the study of ethnic history compare to other multidimensional academic fields?
We share many characteristics with other multidisciplinary fields. When I go to the Social Science History Association, my sociologist colleagues will complain, well, where's your statement of data and sources? But we are less prescriptive about the terms of presentation than some of the scholarship in some social sciences. But at the same time, the fact that we appeal to people who are interested in many areas of migration, immigration, race, and ethnicity means that we have to limit works that serve very specific constituencies that will not be of broader interest. So it means as an editor, I'm looking for at least some kinds of balance of coverage, period, time, topic groups, but also looking for special issues that might showcase some particular themes.
Dom, when you acquire, do you consider other U of I Press titles and how historical titles complement previous acquisitions?
I should say that I consider it as much as I'm looking for press fit. So in short, does the author understand the backlist and the types of histories we're interested in publishing? And does the author see themselves as being in conversation with previous authors here at the press? And then moreover, if they don't see that, why not? And these are the types of things I'm interested in talking about during like initial conversations with the author.
Suzanne, I don't have to tell you this, but ethnic American history is American history. How would you describe what falls under the journal's scope?
It's very broad. I think the journal, as we state on the cover, it says we focus on the history of immigration, ethnicity, and race throughout North America, and we encourage manuscripts on the process of migration, adjustment, assimilation, group relations, mobility, politics, culture, group identity, other topics that illuminate North American immigrant, ethnic, and racial experience. But historically, we've defined North America as the U.S. and Canada to a large degree. We've been trying to expand that to include a bit more on Mexico and the Caribbean, particularly as it relates to migration north. It's very broad.
Thank you, Suzanne. Dom, how is the field of ethnic history different from the other fields from which you seek entries?
I would say it's the most different in that the way that history is traditionally done has been using methods that have actively and subconsciously write folks out of times and conventional sites where we recover history. I oftentimes find that authors are having to use radical imagination or having to use other pieces of cultural production to really try to get at what these people thought, how these people felt, and how they pushed back against these systems that have historically wanted to act as if they didn't exist. And so I would say it's the most different in that where some people might say they're guessing, but it's really about being imaginative again, right? About how these people were living on the ground when you don't have as much material at your disposal to really recover these people.
Suzanne, what would you say you get the most journal submissions in what topic of history?
That varies across time. In my 4 years as a journal editor, I've seen a number of works that would reflect contemporary concerns related to immigration, race, and ethnicity. And usually the scholarship lags a little bit behind the headlines, but you can recognize the relevance of the broader questions. So we've had multiple works documenting the history of deportation or fears of racial and ethnic demographics, a special issue collecting and telling stories of undocumented people, one on refugees, and we've had another special issue on immigrants in the U.S. South, and quite a bit of work on race relations and discrimination in particular in recent years.
Dom, what topics would you say are getting the most focus right now on that side of press?
I would say in the time of Black Lives Matter and Stop Asian Hate and what's happening at the border and the inherent Islamophobia and most of our immigration policy, what I'm seeing right now is how activism is really informing the scholarship that we're seeing, right? And how resistance is looking at how through sites of resistance, people are looking at how these types of questions and these type of unseating of power have existed kind of historically, even if it has a different name, it's always existed. And so looking at how historians are kind of tracking the historical context by which we get to these contemporary moments. Those are the most interesting books that I see coming across, even if it's just at the proposal stage right now.
Suzanne, let's talk about the journal. What are your goals as editor of the Journal of American Ethnic History? And is there anything you will be altering or adapting as we move forward?
One alteration that I expect is that starting with the spring 2021 issue, I included one work that engages in depth on a theoretical model from the social sciences and then applies it to a historical example, specifically Japanese internment. And I expect to do that at least occasionally now. As I mentioned before, we're also interested in working a bit more on materials that come from Mexican experiences or out of the Caribbean and featuring articles that about people who've been repatriated. So we've got a special issue we're planning on that.
Dom, we talked about some of the things that are hot topics right now, but is there a subject matter in ethnic history you would like to see submitted more often?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's anything I'd like to see submitted more often, but what I will say I'm most interested in is the home as a site of resistance and as a site where identity is made. And so material cultures, I can get a little bit about architecture, but really where we create our communities allows us to create our identities. And tangential to that, I'm always interested in looking at politics of respectability across ethnicities and across racial cultures. And so I'm looking at people who have actively been unwritten out of the politics of respectability, because quick background, respectability is seen as this place in which, or seen as a way of being in the world where somebody acts respectable enough on behalf of their race or on behalf of their ethnicity, then they will be given full citizenship or given full rights to engaging in democracy. And what you see is that that's not the case. And so I'm looking at people who participate in underground economies, bootleggers, sex workers, and all of those folks to see how they really teach us something about the way that the state as a site of power relies on people being unrespectable in order to substantiate itself and make sense of its own power. And so looking at scholarship and looking at scholars who are interested in looking at these people who are unwritten out of even the histories of ethnic folks is probably something that I would like to see more of and that I actively acquire and seek out.
Suzanne, on the Organization of American Historians Conference website, it reads, "Our role as historians serving public needs has never been more important. Since the beginning of American history, some residents have thought of themselves as living in a democracy, even when vast numbers of their fellow residents were excluded from voting and full citizenship by virtue of race, gender, or lack of property. Why is this topic as timely as ever?"
Well, we still see so many examples of that today. We see echoes of the past in the events of today. Recently, during the pandemic, we've seen a rise in attacks on Asians and Asian Americans, and the Immigration and Ethnic History Society, which is the journal's sponsoring organization, has really spoken out about that and provided information to document that history of discrimination. That's something that we do in the journal regularly, and also to connect with what's going on with Black Lives Matter and ways that discrimination takes place across time. But more broadly, we see many people fearing voter fraud, passing legislation restricting voting rights and access. And those are strategies we've seen so many times to limit political participation. I feel as though our understanding of the past drives policy. So to ignore the past discrimination is to work to limit democracy.
Dom, why is this issue so timely in your opinion?
The idea that all folks will ever get the opportunity to participate in the rights of full citizenship without constantly having to fight for them, I don't know if I'm convinced that you ever get to that type of day, because power is never interested in being unseated. And so it's going to find other ways to circumvent whatever people seek to displace it. And so I definitely believe all these topics are super timely, but timely in the sense that they've never disappeared. There's just been moments that happen where we think that we're done talking about them. And I think that that is the most harmful part is, and I think that I would argue that you're seeing this moment happen again, right? With what the government looks like and who's running the White House. We see less pressure on these systems in the way that people were pushing back really just 6 months ago or just 12 months ago. That's not happening in the same type of way, because again, I feel like both sides of the Democratic coin, they operate for the same goal. They just do it in very different ways.
Let's talk about the fact that this year's conference, the theme is Pathways to Democracy. As you acquire historical materials from current authors, how are you seeing this period in history portrayed?
I will say that the most interesting part is that I will see, especially in this area of acquisitions, a lot of scholars will refer to themselves as the scholar activist. And so not only are they looking at how this is historically relevant, but they're actually like on the ground trying to forward policy in their own ways. And I think that the biggest question that one has to ask of this moment is, what is a democracy? First and foremost, and is having a democracy the best way to go about running a society? And I see a lot of authors grappling with that question, because the idea of a democracy, we would think, is that everybody has a fair voice, but the representative democracy upon which our democracy is modeled after is inherently about disappearing people's voices. And it's about everybody not having a voice. And so if that's actually the way democracy comes to be written and understood, it's understandable why you're having all of these issues of fitting people into democracy in itself. And so you will see other political systems rising out, or you'll see people feeling as if the political system of democracy in and of itself actually doesn't work as a means of giving people full citizenship. And so work that does that, looking at how democracy in and of itself is a site of power, are a project that I'm super interested in. I feel that scholarship in certain veins is moving toward.
Suzanne, as a teacher of young minds at a university, do you find that how you teach ethnic history now is different than when you started teaching?
I find that there are more people who are willing to go into activism, and I think that's a really positive thing, that there are more people who are not just looking at it in terms of scholarship, but also trying to see what they might do in order to make the world a better place.
Let's talk about the latest issue of the journal. The articles are very vast in range of topics. Reagan's Cold War, Tejas Afuera de México, Butchers, Bakers, and Jewish Strong-Arm Men. Based on the wide variety of topics, how do you decide what goes into each issue based on the submissions?
Part of that has to do with simply the logistics of what's ready at a particular time. And I am trying to balance time periods, places, so that I will have some things that will be a little bit older, some things that will be a bit newer, some that might be more theoretical, some that might be more a case study. That will be a piece of what I'm doing. And then I will try to balance out if I'm not getting enough in one particular area, or I feel as though I need to have more in a different area, by focusing on something like that for a special issue, or trying to recruit people from conferences to bring in their work that will then provide more insight into some of those other areas.
Thank you for listening to the University of Illinois Press podcast. The latest issue of the Journal of American Ethnic History is available on the University of Illinois Press website. Dr. Suzanne Sinke and Dominique Moore, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks.